Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Tom Pike, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of Energy. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Pete Boyer. Tom, I'd like to learn a little bit more about the IT strategy over at Energy. Specifically, how have you sought to modernize and standardize the use of technology so it benefits both the department and the constituents it serves, as well as aligning resources across the department's strategic goals?
Al, let me begin by speaking for a bit about how I managed at the Commerce Department before I came to DOE. Okay. While leading IT at the Commerce Department, I developed approaches that worked in a federated environment with the use of department-wide standards and guidance, but giving each organization, each bureau or administration within the department, adequate flexibility to adapt common guidance to their missions. And that is a good starter when addressing IT management at the Department of Energy, I believe. But after I arrived at DOE, I learned what a true federated organization is. Each major DOE program has its own priorities and management style. And in some cases, for example, for the National Nuclear Security Administration, a special legislative mandate that gives it a high degree of independence. I also learned firsthand about how world-class science is carried out on contract by DOE's 27 national laboratories, and how Nobel Prize winners or prospective Nobel Prize winners considered unnecessary discipline in the management of IT as an impediment for them to accomplish their programmatic goals. And I understand that and appreciate it. I should mention that in DOE, we're very proud of the fact that over 82 individuals associated with the department have won Nobel Prizes already.
Wow.
I visited many of our laboratories and met with the leaders of the labs, and I've heard firsthand about the important research they are conducting, and I've been very impressed. I've also been impressed by the highly capable CIOs that each of the labs has, and how well each of them is doing in managing IT, both on their own and following policies and guidance from DOE. The key to managing IT at DOE is to insist on just enough DOE-wide common direction or policy and just enough discipline to ensure that IT capital investment is managed well on both the federal and contractor sides, and to ensure that sufficient attention is paid to cybersecurity management, technical and operational controls protecting all systems and data, and in other key areas. One way to do this is by applying our DOE enterprise architecture, which is the blueprint for IT acquisition and management in the department. The enterprise architecture is fully aligned to the DOE strategic plan, including our strategic goals.
So, Tom, I'd like to explore this area a bit more because, as you described in the last segment, Energy's mission, obviously it's very complex, very diverse. So I'd like to learn a little bit more on how you foster this enterprise view of technology versus a stovepipe view of IT, which, again, given the diversity, would seem like it'd be very easy to fall into that mode.
We are guided by our enterprise architecture. And we have identified what needs to be done in the same way across our large, diverse department and what can be managed on a, let me call it, one-size-doesn't-fit-all basis. We have standardized on our primary administrative functions through an implementation of a set of common administrative services in a package called iManage. Our office has established 9 enterprise-wide software license agreements that have resulted in lower costs department-wide. We have an IT council comprised of the IT leaders of every DOE program area, and we have empowered this council to oversee certain DOE-wide management tasks, such as reviewing the results of applying earned value management to IT development projects, especially if the results are beginning to get out of line. We have established DOE-wide standards where appropriate, including DOE-wide cybersecurity requirements that represent the minimum of what needs to be done. Each program is free to add to those, but not weaken them.
So just to take a balanced view for a moment, could you just quickly describe what might be some of the benefits and possible limitations inherent to this federated IT management approach?
In my opinion, no other approach would work effectively for DOE. I have talked to previous DOE CIOs, including some who have tried to foster a centralized approach to managing IT in DOE. And they wound up being rebuffed by the fundamental nature of the agency, including the fact that by far the majority of the work at DOE as a whole is done by our laboratories, which are, as I've said before, contractor operations. I've listened to our senior program leaders at headquarters and in the field and consulted with our talented Office of the CIO staff and have moved ahead employing a federated approach that I believe is being quite successful. Based on my experience, I believe that a governance structure has to match the fundamental nature of an organization. There is always room for strong leadership to change the culture, and we are doing so in some ways. But that may not be desirable or effective if there are inherent limitations because of the structure or other fundamental factors associated with the organization itself. I mentioned earlier the National Nuclear Security Administration, or NNSA, which is a large part of DOE. There is legislation that prohibits anyone other than the secretary or deputy secretary from directing NNSA to do anything, and even they are limited to providing policy direction. I'm pleased to say, however, that because of enlightened management within NNSA and a cordial, productive working relationship between NNSA management and DOE management, NNSA voluntarily adopts most of the direction and guidance that is mandatory for the rest of the department, including direction relative to IT capital investment management and cybersecurity.
Now, Tom, continuing on this theme, your department spends approximately $2.5 billion a year in information technology. Now, you've mentioned the IT capital investment process and the importance of that. Would you elaborate on how you've strengthened the department's IT capital investment process to ensure that the investment decisions are mission-aligned and cost-justified? And to what extent have you mapped proposed investments to the agency-wide enterprise architecture strategy?
Our enterprise architecture is the primary guidance that we use every day in the department. And we continue to strengthen it, including strengthening how we use it. The IT capital investment management process is guided by the architecture, and it uses the architecture as we review the individual project plans and as we review the performance against each of the plans. We carry out earned value management activities associated with the large development projects, and we use the architecture to guide that, and we use the architecture to help make sure we're pointed in the right direction and keep on target against our high-level goals. We have provided strong encouragement throughout the department to use the capital investment business cases as management tools so that we are, in fact, managing our portfolio of investments as a portfolio with good results.
Now, the e-government initiative is a critical component of the president's management agenda. Would you tell us about your department's efforts in this area? And what are some of the challenges you faced and what remains to be done?
Many of our IT modernization efforts leverage government-wide e-government initiatives. We are participants, in fact, in 18 e-gov initiatives, including e-rulemaking, Business Gateway, grants.gov, e-training, recruitment one-stop, e-travel, and e-authentication. You could say our middle name is eGov. And in fact, we take it very seriously, but we see real benefits to participating as a partner with other agencies in these eGov initiatives. We also participate in the financial management line of business, the grants management, human resources, geospatial, and information system security lines of business. Through participating in these initiatives and these lines of business, we support both the president's management agenda and we improve DOE IT operations. One of the initial challenges we faced was to identify those legacy investments within our IT portfolio that should be aligned for migration to an e-government solution. Any migration or replacement initiative can indeed be challenging. But when you factor in IT solutions that are being developed and managed by other federal organizations, the migration process becomes critical. I believe we've made good progress in this area for many of the e-government initiatives and that we are receiving the benefits of our participation in the e-gov initiatives and in turn contributing to the overall government-wide benefit.
Terrific. Now, Tom, given the complexity and importance of DOE's numerous unique multi-million dollar projects, From an IT operations perspective, how has your department sought to improve its project management discipline for monitoring project performance?
We have encouraged a culture of project management by professionals. Our project managers are required to be certified, to have substantial training to the extent that they are certified as project managers, and to employ the expertise they have developed in that process to give a great deal of attention to the to both the big picture and the details in managing each project. I've already referred to our quarterly reviews of all IT capital investment projects, and I referred to the use of the tool known as earned value management for projects of significant size or risk, and to the oversight by our DOE IT Council that helps when projects may, at the very beginning stages, be getting out of line. My staff in the office of the CIO pays a great deal of attention to each project during the quarterly reviews that we conduct. And in fact, we even have an internal scorecard that we provide to the various programs in the department based on their progress and their performance in IT capital investment management, as well as in other areas such as enterprise architecture and cybersecurity. So it's a combination of all of these tools applied on a continuing basis that have, I believe, led to having the investment management process on a project-by-project basis be accepted across the entire department and to have it internalized to the point at which the documentation associated with the projects, the processes that we have imposed and in some cases were imposed on us, are really leading to better management of the projects themselves.
Tom, I would imagine that one of the keys to success of operating one of these federated models is helping the staff recognize that they are, in fact, part of a much broader enterprise. So I'm curious, to this end, what are some of the pushbacks that you encounter as a CIO?
I'm glad you asked that, Al. In the very important area of cybersecurity, for example, almost everything we do to protect our systems and data interferes in some way with the performance of our scientific programs. You may recall I mentioned earlier that we have these wonderful scientists in our laboratories who are intent on doing their job. And to them, imposing discipline to manage IT, which is only one component of the world they live in, has the potential to interfere with that next Nobel Prize that they're working on. When I, as CIO, impose longer passwords or the use of something called two-factor authentication, where we take into account something you know and something you have before providing access to a system or a network, it's an imposition on these folks. When we demand that everyone have extensive awareness training in cybersecurity to sensitize them to the importance of not clicking on email attachments or not clicking on internet addresses or URLs in an email or any email that might in any way be suspect, that's an imposition on folks. We're taking their time. We're taking their energy. We're slowing down their ability to get their job done. And to make things worse, it costs the programs and it costs the labs to implement a lot of the things that we say are essential from a cybersecurity standpoint. So we have a lot of selling to do. It's not just telling. It's also selling to help people understand why it is that we need to take all of these protective measures and why it's in everyone's own good and in the good of their programs and their projects to take these steps. So bringing leadership at all levels on board in cybersecurity and other areas is important, and helping them to understand the importance of cybersecurity and how it will help them get their job done better. For example, I've been talking with scientists about how adequate cybersecurity helps protect the integrity of the science process. It helps them provide better results that they in turn share with other scientists, and as well as protecting extremely sensitive information that they may be working with as they perform their job. We have found that outreach and open communications can go a long way toward bringing people along to follow direction and guidance. For example, the DOE Office of Science has conducted cybersecurity site assistance visits to the science laboratories, providing help in applying good cybersecurity management practices. This help was welcomed by the labs. And in fact, in my visits there, they were enthusiastic about this help from Washington that was really helpful, and they really appreciated it. And for those labs that I visited who hadn't had their visits yet, they were looking forward to those visits. In my opinion, those visits help result in significant improvements in cybersecurity at those laboratories. On another front, we've had a great deal of success in our efforts to centralize IT support for the federal side of DOE. This began as an A76 effort to consolidate desk side and other IT support on the federal side. The winner in the competition was an innovative team that combined federal and contractor resources. As you might imagine, the field wasn't exactly excited about having Washington manage their IT operations for them, or at least that's how they perceived this centralized operation of IT services. But the team has rolled out its support for most of DOE headquarters, and it's now beginning rolling the support in the field. There are over 8,000 seats of IT support at headquarters and the field supported in this way, and this has resulted in a documented cost avoidance of over $80 million over the last few years, and that number will increase over time. The undersecretary-level program managers have made business decisions to expand the application of this centralized IT support based on their evaluation of performance and cost. And outreach to the field is bringing many of these folks around to understand the benefits of this approach. So it's not just about imposing the will of the CIO or other senior agency officials. It's about selling people on the benefits of following direction. It's motivating people, as Secretary Bodman, Secretary of Energy Bodman says, motivating people to do the right thing.
What about energy's cybersecurity efforts? We will ask Tom Pike, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of Energy, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.